I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, I'm really excited now to be talking with the Newburyport, the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce President Frank Cousins, who's, of course, very familiar in the area, former sheriff of Essex County, among other longtime public service duties. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. It's great to be here.
Yes, it is great to be here. You got that right. I want to talk a lot of stuff I'd like to mention, and we did talk last week a little bit about doing this interview. And first, I'd like to maybe have you review, if you would, please, your tenure at the Greater Newburyport Chamber, because obviously things changed drastically about a year ago, but maybe you could tell me a little bit about your experience as president coming into the chamber, and then, we'll try to catch up on this last year.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. You know, I came in, after I retired as being the High Sheriff of Essex County, came in about 3.5 years ago, and it's been a real, you know, positive experience. We've had a great, I had a real good working group here. You know, I had three chairwomen, Julie Ganong, which I spent a year and a half with, and she owns Chococa Bakery here in Newburyport, and then you had Chris Sullivan from the Institution of Savings Bank. And then recently, Mark Griffin, who's an attorney in town. So we've had a good team and a good board to really kind of retool and reposition the chamber. We really have focused on, you know, the day-to-day things that our members need and try to help them grow their business. And then, you know, I think there's been, we look at a lot of events. Were they successful or weren't they? What ones should we keep? So we kind of, you know, we moved ourselves off of some of those things and just kind of focused on, the membership and trying to create that business, which I think is, at the end of the day, those are the type of things who really help people and help grow business.
I talked with former Vice President Mark Yannicello almost a year ago now, and at that point, he was describing to me some of the businesses that had been closed due to the governor's guidelines and so on. But one of the things he mentioned quite positively was the fact that the businesses that were still open were really working together to try to help the businesses that were not. And that mainly included the restaurants that still had takeout, but other things as well. So even though there's competition in the town, in the city, there's also a lot of cooperation.
Well, I think we really strive on it. And I think one of the things that, you know, as we, over the last year, we look at this, one of the things that I found that has hurt businesses, all types of businesses, it doesn't matter, travel, tourism, restaurant business, retail business, is a lack of, you know, being able to communicate, and I call it unfounded fear, where, you know, people worry, is it safe to go out, is it safe to shop? So we've really focused on that, and I think that, you know, communicating with everybody, answering the telephone, going out and seeing people, you know, and really helping them reopen and launch their business, which I think has really helped. And, it doesn't matter if it's a takeout or, you know, picking up or, you know, the whole gift card program we really focused on the last year. So that type of communication, I think, has been imperative. And then to tie it into our local banks around payroll protection, around, you know, supplies that people needed to, you know, to make their business work successfully. In the Greater Newburyport, we've had great working relationships with our Board of Health. So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, it's a whale watch boat or a restaurant or, something happening in a retail establishment. We've had good rapport and good communications with city agencies, and I think that's been key.
With the advent of the vaccine being distributed now at a pretty good race, I think, in my humble opinion, what do you see now, or what has been the anecdotal evidence coming in from business owners to the chamber in terms of either reopening or getting up to full speed or just kind of getting ready for summer? Has there been a change in attitude?
I think there's been a change in attitude. I think that, you know, one of the great things you've been able to do here is, you know, being part of the Beth Israel Group, the Anna Jakes Hospital, which is part of that, have partnered with the city. So we're doing vaccines. at the Senior Citizen Center. The other thing that we did over the winter was, for our outdoor dining, was to the city use some funds to purchase parklets. So we'll have those on State and Pleasant, maybe on Water Street at the Point Restaurant. And I think that that effort by the city and the restaurant groups and the stores to open and to, you know, do something different and is positive.
All right, I want to point out to everyone that we will be linking to the NewburyportChamber.org website, and they have the latest information on restaurant openings and a lot of other information as well, and we'll have that right up there. And, you know, Sheriff, before we change subjects here, I was reading an interview you did with North Shore Magazine, I think it was, and, they asked you about a vision for Newburyport as you head toward retirement from the chamber. And you mentioned a hotel. I didn't realize there isn't a hotel in Newburyport.
Well, economic development is key for, you know, I'm a Newburyport guy. I've been in Newburyport my whole life except for a couple of years. I lived in Connecticut when I was in the retail business. And, you know, one of the unique things that Newburyport has struggled with the last, couple of years is really to have a vision on what we need for, you know, the next 25 years of stability. And you look at, you know, you look at Salem, you look at Gloucester, you look at Portsmouth, you look at Portland, Maine, and the reality is you have a place where you can lay your head on the pillow at night. And, you know, and people want to come to Newburyport. It's right in between those four destinations I just mentioned. We need a hotel. We have 7 square acres of waterfront property, a combination where Steve Cobb from New England Development wants to, as I say, clean up the dust bowl that's there and do some things there and create some more space on open space on the waterfront. And then more importantly, put a hotel and a little small conference center and some, you know, residential units. So that's very important, for the economic viability here in Newburyport. And also, we have a little corridor on Route 1, what we call it the Rails Inn, which goes from the train station to the Gillis Bridge. And there's some space along that front to put maybe a hotel in. And we've got some people that own some land there that are looking at it. And those all tie into the, you know, the master plan of the city. You're able to walk, you can bike, you know, you can stay, you can eat, shop. You know, it's really something that's needed. And it's not something that just came on the drawing board today. It's been really the lack of leadership and see-through to work with a developer to get that done for the community.
Well, I want to change gears a little bit because, as I said, we did have a little pre-game chat here last week, and you have a unique experience in public service, Frank, and I wonder if you'd maybe give us an opinion or two or an observation or two in what's going on, I would say, culture-wise and perhaps politically, not only in the area but also in the country. Massachusetts just recently passed a police reform bill, and I put that in quotes, and, you know, as a former sheriff, I'm sure you have some observations on that, and maybe we could start there. What's your observation? How do you take this new bill that that Massachusetts, and of course this all comes in the wake of what happened recently with police killings and so on.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been is I've always been a leader around the issues around reform in the criminal justice system and how we do things. And, you know, I believe that, you know, the reform legislation that was just passed is, you know, probably just honestly the tip of the iceberg of some of the problems that we have here in Massachusetts. And you don't have to look any farther than, you know, recent incident with the state police where there was a trooper that, you know, did some really domestic violence and some bad behavior in this neck of Essex County. And you look at the message that's sent out, you know, you put people out on paid administrative leave, unpaid leave, when do you have a hearing and move them off of the rolls. And I just think that people are looking for, you know, someone to call balls and strikes. And I think that, you know, from an institutional standpoint, we've struggled with that in Massachusetts. We need some reforms for the chiefs of police and the colonel of the state police and the sheriffs around issues of collective bargaining, where you know, you can get people that have committed things that are egregious in the workplace, or they're a constant problem child, and get them out of the workplace. And that's how you restore trust and public confidence. And if you're not doing that in this environment, that's how we get into trouble. And that's what you saw, you know, with the Floyd issue. I had a lot of people ask me, they said, geez, you know, if that police officer, he would not have been on the street if he worked for you. He would have probably either been tucked in a corner or made a decision to fire him and let him fight for his job from the street. And I think that that's the type of leadership that's needed. And, that's one of the ongoing challenges we have in America around reform in the criminal justice system is these, you know, archaic, labor contracts which make it impossible to get problem children out of the workplace.
Well, you know, it's such a vast arena, I guess. And, you know, I had a question, but I was listening so intent that I forgot the question. So I think one of the things that I'd be interested in getting your opinion is we see things, like that. We see certain people get away with certain things. At least that's a perception. And, you know, the Andrew Cuomo thing going on right now. And you know that other people, if, for example, you were accused of that kind of stuff, you know, you'd have been out on your ear. Whereas a person in power like Andrew Cuomo, you know, he's just kind of brushing it aside, which we also saw at a national level. And it seems to me there has to be some kind of...
Not right.
Go ahead.
It's not right. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, I get a lot of questions around the issue of harassment and sexual harassment and workplace behavior. And that's, again, part of that tone. So if you're the... you know, governor or a mayor or a sheriff, and you're leading, you know, a community, and you just can't. You've got to train once a year. You've got to remind everybody about keeping your hands to yourself. Comments you have to make, you have to document that, and you've got to do the same thing as you've asked your employees to do. So when you get a situation like Andrew Cuomo, I mean, it's very clear he should move on. And other people have who've done these similar things, and it's just not right. And, you know, that's how people lose faith in our government. And you look at the job that he's done down there in New York, you know, around COVID, and clearly this behavior, it's just not acceptable. And, you know, I was very clear on that when I went to the Sheriff's Department, and we had a policy in place. We followed it. I had a retired law enforcement professional that taught that subject matter every year. We refreshed everybody, and we had a policy in place, and, you know, you live with it, and you do the right thing. So that's unfortunate what's happening there, and that's part of the breakdown we have in the system today.
Well, you mentioned teaching, and I think my final question would revolve around education. With the advent, the insidious advent, as far as I'm concerned, of social media, misinformation, hate talk, hate speech, things that you would think sometimes perhaps as a person when you're experiencing road rage, but you probably wouldn't act on it. These things are being acted on now, and I point to Marblehead, to Danvers, to other communities, maybe every community, where there's hate speech, there are hate signs, there's vile language and symbols. And the education, you know, I'm an educator, Frank. I taught math for 38 years. And it seems to me that this is a massive fail on the part of our public education.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing. You know, again, I've challenged these things in my capacity as sheriff. You know, we had an officer who made some, you know, bad behavior on the website and at the sheriff's department. I was there, and he made some comments to a captain about Jewish people and just unacceptable behavior, and we challenged him, and we fired him, and that went that was challenged under the free speech and United States Constitution. I went to United States District Court in Boston, and it was brought to the appellate division in our district, one step away from the Supreme Court, and I won the case, and we put that employee out permanently and took them out of the workplace. And you know, and it sends a message in the workplace that, you know, if you're in law enforcement or you're a public employee, you cannot go and get on a web page and say bad things about people. And it should not be allowed. And that's the message that I think that needs to be sent. You know, if you're just a average citizen, you want to sit over in your corner and go out and march up and down the street, that's your right. But when you're in law enforcement or you're in education and you think you're going to be able to say some things that are just totally odd, and you've got rules and regulations in the workplace, you got to move on and you got to move the people out, because it sends the wrong message to young people. And young people need, you know, a clear vision of, you know, where we should be going in this country and the leadership. And you can't have it both ways.
What's the next step for Frank Cousins as he as you leave the Newburyport Greater Newburyport Chamber?
Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm lucky, you know, I've got a 19-year-old. It's a great kid. He's down at Stonehill College, went to Governor's Academy, got a, you know, really a, he's got his both oars in the water, as I like to say. He plays a little football. He's on the team down there. He's a Division II athlete, and I'm going to go to his games. I'm not going to miss any. We're going to spend a lot of time together this summer. And also, you know, I hope to continue to be able to teach, you know, at the community college level, or maybe at Merrimack again, or one of the schools in law enforcement. You know, I enjoy that, and I'll do some work around, you know, consultant work around young boys, keeping young boys out of jail. As you know, from being a former educator, you know, young black boys are going to be extinct in the United States of America if we don't do a little direction around education, keep them out of jail, and, you know, and addressing the drug issues. So I do some work on that, and I'll have some fun with that. And I'll also be, you know, whatever supportive I can of the Greater Newburyport area and continue to push good things that happen up here.
That is the president of the Greater Chamber of Newburyport. Let me try that again. The Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce, Frank Cousins. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.